Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
This week we're going to begin a series in Matthew 5, where Jesus does nothing but say, you've heard that things were once this way. This is the way that you think it should be. This is kind of how you experience it. But I'm telling you that this is the way it is. And so the whole Sermon on the Mount is Jesus just saying, this is what you celebrate, and this is what you think is good, and this is what you think is right, but this is actually where the heart of God lies. And so it starts with what they call the Beatitudes, or what we call the Beatitudes. And so that's where we'll start. And this, you know, I don't love naming series, and, you know, we just kind of jack what's free out there on the internet. And so there's some churches that have spent massive budgets on creating, you know, graphics and whatnot. And they're generous to just share it once they get done with it, because they'll spend lots of money just creating it for like a four-week series or something. But I thought this was a good one, because this is a lot of what Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is, unlearning religion. But there was these people who had this religious thought process, and Jesus said, well, you know, this is the Beatitudes, where everybody who you don't think is blessed, I'm actually about to pronounce as being blessed. We're going to read through that. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. And then he goes into, hey, you've heard this about, you know, divorce, but here's actually what I'm saying. You've heard this about adultery. You've heard this about lust. You've heard this about murder. You've heard it, but actually it's so much deeper than that. Like, so we're going to get to that. So they're unlearning this kind of religious thing. And we have to do that ourselves, because it just gets ingrained in us. And then it is what it's always been. So let us read the first 11 chapter verses of Matthew 5. And they go like this. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. God, we pray that as we have opened up your word and these scriptures, and we seek to let them transform our lives, God, we pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our heart, would be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So Jesus calls the disciples to him. He sits down, and then there's debate. This may be like one long sermon that he just kind of let out. We say long sermon, but if I read them all, it would take me about half the time that we normally spend talking. And you guys would say amen, and then we get out of here. But kids would really say amen. They'd be like, sweet, this guy, it's boring. But the longest like section of red letters that we find outside of John is right here. And we don't know if it was just one long sermon or Matthew was just compiling all these things Jesus said. But what we do know, that there was moments and times where Jesus would sit down, as the teachers were, the people would stand around, and Jesus just begin to teach them. And so this is one of those teachings where Jesus, these people are gathered around. And they may not have all believed in Jesus as Messiah, but they all knew that he was a great teacher, and they wanted to be there. And this is what he starts out with. Blessed are all the degenerates that he can think of, right? The brokenhearted, the people who are mourning, the poor, right? The meek, the merciful. We kind of like the merciful, especially when we're in need of mercy. But the persecuted, like all the people that we would typically take in an American Western setting and say, well, that's not blessing. It actually looks like it's cursed. And in fact, when it happens to us, we're like, what am I doing wrong? I'm doing something wrong. I have screwed up. I have sinned greatly. We start telling Job's friend's story in our brain. Like, what did I do to mess things up? And the message that Jesus said was actually like, hey, these people are blessed. As we look to what we typically think of in our current setting, is these are all the things that bless, that show that a church is blessed as well, right? The church has power. Well, hey, let's do this. Let's think about what the opposite of these things are, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. We would say that the person who's blessed is the person who has the confidence, who exudes, you know, this air of their heads up, their chins up. They feel good. Everything's good. They're not downcast. They're not poor in spirit. Those are the blessed people, right? Those are times where we feel like God's taken something away from us. And we tend to celebrate the person who's happy all the time. You can live your best life yet, right? There's always a smile. Everything's good. Nothing's ever bad. Blessed are the meek. Well, that's not who's blessed in our society, right? It's the person who has everything, the person who has all the strength, all the power, who has the position. That's who we put on our elder boards, right? The one who makes the most money, the one who has the most influence. That's not an indictment on us. We don't necessarily do that. I'm just saying, like that is typically, like there. I've been to churches where the people who were on the leadership teams may not have ever even come to church, or very frequently. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, we can get down with that, right? Although we know sometimes in the real world, you got to cut a few corners. You can't really have full righteousness. Like, you got to tell a little lie here and there. You got to cut a few corners to make it. Blessed are the merciful. What does it look like to show mercy? Most of the time, it looks like swallowing everything that we feel, at least me, that I feel is right. Like if someone's done me wrong, I want to let them know it. Or at very minimum, I want to let them know it. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to do something. Even if I'm nice, I still want them to know, like, I'm being nice to you, but you don't deserve it, right? But that's not mercy. God's mercy is never, hey, Friar, you really screwed up this week, and I'm going to love you, but you don't deserve it. I mean, I feel that internally, but it's not because that's what God's telling me, right? But the scripture here is saying, blessed are the people who are merciful. Many times the merciful are the ones who get trampled on, who get taken advantage of, who get everything taken away from them. Blessed are the pure in heart. I don't even know how you attain that. they are blessed. If you are completely pure in heart, you are blessed, and I can understand that one. But the next one is the one that just flies in my face more than anything else. Blessed are the peacemakers. You get this sense that Jesus is saying, blessed is everybody who doesn't go after what everyone else says you have the right to go after. You have the right to not be run over. You have the right to stand up for yourself. This is what we teach. And Jesus is taking that and saying, that's not it. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Man, when we're persecuted, sometimes we're crying out like David, where are you, God? What even happened to you? Are you even around? Jesus is saying this is indications of God's blessing on your life. That there is reward for sitting in those spaces. And as a church, sometimes that's what we celebrate. That's what we want. As individuals, that's definitely what we want. Maybe I'm just, and it is possible. I could just be confessing everything that's wrong with me, and you guys are sitting there going, what's wrong with Fryer, man? I really got this stuff nailed. And that's okay. Yeah, I'm okay with that. But like personally, that's not it. And I know as a church, like a lot of times, we want to have the influence. We want to have the best of the best. We want to be the people who are leading the way. And many times that doesn't involve the meek, the merciful. A lot of times it doesn't even involve the pure in heart. You got to have, you know, you got to have some business dealings to be successful, right? Which means we got to pull out the scripture that says you can be as innocent as the lamb, but also is that shrewdness part, and we got to do that. We love to pull that one out, right? When it's, but these Beatitudes, they have a special meaning in biblical theology. In almost every case when the Bible proclaims someone is blessed, it's speaking of someone whose life is right in the eyes of God. And a lot of times when we sense these periods of persecution, mourning, meekness, we see that as something that's gone awry in our lives. And every culture, it's not just a Western culture, every culture develops some false notion of righteousness, right? That we have this idea that we're righteous because of this. And it wasn't any different in the first century Jewish world than it is in our century in North America. Jesus' culture assumed that prosperity and wealth and happiness and social inclusion were signs that a person's life was right in the eyes of God. And Matthew made sure that his readers knew that Jesus was basically calling this trash theology. That's not true. Poverty, hunger, grief, exclusion are not signs of the absence of God's love. And it's no wonder when we can look at the gospel in light of the fact that it includes the times in our lives when we're happy and confident, but it also includes the times in our lives where we feel we aren't worthy and we're mourning and everybody seems to turn their back on us. Sometimes it feels like God, we're not supposed to start quite the footsteps on. Maybe a bit on the nose there, but
there's this idea that the gospel spreads rapidly in cultures and in places and in times
and to the people. And this is not
geographic, and this is not
either.
You know that the gospel spreads when people basically are at their wits' end.
Think of where the gospel's moving. Further north in Africa, that's where a lot of the Muslim countries start to intertwine with some of the mystic religions of Africa. And they can actually be killed for that, right? In the underground church in China, it's completely illegal. And yet the gospel is booming because there's a group of people who realize we're at our wits' end. We're ostracized. But God is including us in his family. Like, we get to be called sons and daughters of a king. And I think sometimes we just get this idea that, we call sons and daughters a king. I'm pretty self-sufficient. I can make it without, you know, God's help through strategy, through my bank account, through whatever it is. And that's great. I mean, I don't see any of that. I mean, every night when we pray, we thank God for our houses and our cars and all that he has blessed us with. But my prayer is that one day, we'll experience some trauma, be it financial or relational, or that we can also look to God and say, man, how blessed are we that we get this? That as a church, we can look at it and say, well, you know, we're not the biggest church in Easley. We don't have the most. a place for us. And that's true. Yeah, amen. And that's true for each of us individually too. You may feel like I'm the biggest screw up there ever is. If you ever want to feel like a screw up, be a pastor someplace. Because then you got like a bunch of people who look at you as the embodiment of Jesus himself. I don't really believe anybody thinks that. But still, people look to you for spiritual guidance, for prayer, for all these things. And most of the time you sit around and go, my life is a daggum wreck. And these people are asking, like, what in the world? It doesn't make sense. You want to feel like a complete and utter loser or just be a pastor for just a little bit of time? I had a professor one time that said, if you can do anything else and be happy, go do that. And when I was first in seminary. And I think that's where Ephesians 4 comes in and says, well, the church, actually, we all kind of have all these gifts. And so it doesn't just rely on one person. We've kind of created this false kind of thing of this one person who kind of leads it. And hopefully we're reversing that a little bit. But still, you want that, but you may feel that. And the encouragement this morning is that God loves you and that God actually calls you blessed through that. What I want us to remember as we go through our week this week is that as we look to these Beatitudes and as we begin to read through, hopefully you read Matthew 5 with me this week. If you didn't, I'd encourage you to do it again because we're going to do Matthew 5 for a couple weeks now and see all the places. Just be introspective a little bit. Look at all the places in your life where you say, well, this is actually what's blessed and this is what God's calling blessed. Or I haven't murdered anybody. What, was I angry at my brother? I think Jesus kind of takes this whole thing and flips it on his head. But it begins with this personal idea of all the things that we think indicate God's blessing. And it's not that they don't. But Jesus is saying it's a lot bigger than that. Because you're blessed when you're at your wit's end, when you're at the end of the rope, when you have absolutely nothing left to lean on, except for me. When the only thing that you have to rely on is the fact that I've given you a family here on earth who can share your burdens with you, who can kind of be an example of the kingdom of God to your life, and that you can be that for others. And I'm here with you in your presence. My Holy Spirit is going to guide and direct you. And if as a church and as a people and as individuals, we can believe that's all we got, we don't really have a good marketing scheme, we don't really have a good whatever, but all we got is Jesus, then we're blessed. Because that's all we got is Jesus. We got nothing else. There is no plan B. And the problem is Jesus then told us, hey, go and make disciples. Like, all you got is me, and now you got to go and make disciples, but you don't have the means in which to do it. It's all you got to me. And what a great place to be. I've worked in places before, big, grand mega churches, where we had the marketing plan and we did everything like great, right? We were pretty self-sufficient. We didn't need Jesus to actually show up. We needed the sound man to show up. We needed the guy show up, right? We need the preacher to show up. We need the choir or the band or whatever to show up. And what Jesus is driving home to these group of people who are sitting around him is not this guy sitting in front of you who's saying these words. That's all you need. The living God is all in your spirit, who by his Holy Spirit is moving you, is all you need to accomplish the entire mission of the kingdom of God. It is like the story of the mustard seed. Everything that's needed, or in our, we'll use the redwoods. Everything that's needed to produce the redwood forest is in a little seed. And it falls into the ground and it dies. Kind of. Terry told me one time that's not wholly true. But from it springs life that's bigger than you can imagine. I've never seen the redwoods up close. I'd like to one day. I've only been to Southern California, never the northern part, but and that is true for us. We don't have anything to offer. We got nothing. We may have our tithe, we may have our whatever, that's nothing compared to the kingdom of God. But God said that's all you need. Just bring yourself and I'll do the rest through you. So in light of that, this week, as we go, thank you so much, Tracy, for bringing the communion out. I neglected to do that. As we move into a time where we're going to share communion as we do each week, Angie, I think it may be a good time just to kind of give a heads up on what we will be doing. As Michael may need to chat with you, so I'll just preface something real quick. So Angie's going to come up, and last week you may remember, but Angie said, well, I think one of the things that is integral to who we are and what we need to be is prayer. And so I said, hey, Angie, how about you help do that? So she's been brainstorming and praying, and she's going to bring something to us that we're going to, as a family, start, and we'll probably announce it again next week when the rest of our family's here as well, so they know about it too. But I think it's a good time because prayer gets us to the heart of the fact that we got nothing except for this God who loves us. And that's all we got. So you want to now, Angie?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a God who loves us in spite of all of our deficiencies. And if we look into our lives right now, we know that even when we mask them with other things, because we don't want other people to know that they were deficient in those areas, mask them with confidence or with happiness or whatever. They're still there. It doesn't, you know. And so what I want you to do is, as we go to this time where we're going to take communion as we do each week, I just want you to hear these words that Jesus spoke one more time. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. God, you've given us everything we need to accomplish your mission on earth. God, we're thankful that we get to play a part and be a part and show others what it is to what the kingdom of God looks like. So God, we pray that this week people will know that you're a merciful God by the way that we show mercy. God, would people know that you're a righteous God, not because they're browbeat, because they see a people who are diligently trying to live righteous lives and relying on the only one who could live the perfectly righteous life in the times when we fail. God, may people know that the kingdom of God is peaceful by the ways that we make peace. God, may people know that the kingdom of God is a place where they can experience gladness, not because of a false sense of gladness, but because you're the one who comforts those who mourn. May they see the kingdom of God as a safe place to be who they are, who you created them to be. God, would they not think that the kingdom of God is arrogant or proud or brash, or doing any of the things that Christians get accused of on a daily basis. God, may we be these people, as Jesus was speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, may we do it differently because you've led us in a different direction. God, we love you. We ask that as you are in our midst this morning, as we come forward and we share in communion, that you will move our hearts by your Holy Spirit, and that you would guide us in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.